Name 70 is Prajapati. Praja means those who are born. It's often used as, or in English is sometimes translated as citizens. Srila Prabhupada points out that all creatures, the animals, all the flora, fauna, they're all also born within a state, and therefore they all have the same right to protection as humans. So those who are the heads of state, they should, although special importance is given to humans, but it should be seen that all the living beings within a state, they are all worthy of protection. And thus the animals, they should be treated well also. Even trees. Srila Prabhupada on several occasions, he told his disciples not to cut down trees. Even when a temple was to be built, and there were trees there, we see in ISKCON, in Vrindavan, and in Juhu, in Bombay, that there are trees in the courtyard. Because Srila Prabhupada said, let them stand, let them not be cut. They also have a right to life. So Krishna, as Prajapati, he is the Lord of all living beings. Suhridam sarvabhutanam. He is the best friend of all living beings. And another understanding of the word Prajapati is Praja. Those who are well born or best born, high born. So the understanding given of this, prakarshena jayante iti prajaha te shang patihi prajapatihi. Those who have a glorious birth. So this is taken to mean those who are the great devotees, especially Krishna is the Lord of all living beings, but he takes special attention of the devotees. Because ye yata mang prapadyante tangs tathaiva pajami aham. He's the Lord of all living beings, and in this way is equal to all, but especially favors his devotees. So we have the samoham sarva bhuteshu. Namidvesho stinapriya. Ye bhajanti tu mam bhakta maite teshum chapi aham. Krishna says, I'm equal to all living beings. I favor none or disfavor none. But nevertheless, those who worship me in devotion, I respond accordingly. I especially protect and reciprocate them. So Krishna is the Lord of all living beings, but he takes special care of gives special attention to his pure devotees. Prajapati, this is a name in Shastra that's also accorded to Brahma, Indra, Agni, and other leading demigods. Leading demigods means they're leaders of other living beings. So as there are many names of Vishnu, which are also accorded to other living beings within the universe, and in conventional usage, often those names are considered to be primarily the names of various demigods, just like the name Indra is generally considered to be the name of the head of the demigods in Swarga, in the heavenly planet. But that name, although it's conventionally in this world ascribed to that particular demigod, the post of the King of Heaven, ultimately that name belongs to Krishna. It is a borrowed name, or borrowed title for any demigod. There are also the Prajapatis, at the beginning of the creation, Prajapati, Brahma, because Brahma brings forth living beings, so he's known as Prajapati. He does that again on behalf of Krishna. But then, just as the job of populating the universe is delegated to him by Vishnu, so he sub-delegates the task to various of his mentally produced sons, among whom prominent at the present time are Marichi, Atra, Angiras, Pulascha, Pulahav, Kratu, Vasishta, Daksha, Bhrigu, and others. So these are all known as Prajapatis, but the ultimate Prajapati is Vishnu. Name 71, Hiranyagarbha. Hiranya means gold. Garbha means womb. So that can mean one who has a golden womb, but the commentators have described this, the primary meaning to one, mean as one who lives in a very attractive and pleasing place. He lives in the spiritual world. So, in this sense, he's within that golden place. Gold here being understood to mean that is that which is very valuable and pleasing. He is the another understanding of this is that he is the originator of gold. He's the origin of everything. But as gold is considered particularly valuable, so this name in particular is given, Hiranyagarbha. Now, in Bhagavatam, we find that this is a name of Hiranyagarbha, is a name of Garbhadakshai Vishnu, from whom a golden egg or a golden embryo emerged, which took the form of the universe. It's a name of the, in the Bhagavatam also we find this is a name of Brahma who was born from that golden egg. The golden egg which became just like, that was deposited in the water, and then from that Brahma was born. Hiranyagarbha is also a name of the sun. So name 72, Bhugarbha. We just had Hiranyagarbha, and now Bhugarbha. Bhu, it means the earth, and Garbha again means womb or source of creation. The primary meaning of this is given as one for whom the earth is the object of protection. Just as a mother who has a child in her womb gives special protection. She's always thinking of that child who's dependent on her. So that in the same way, the earth is the special object of protection of Vishnu. Now, there are many planets, of course, within the universe, but especially the earth is given importance because the earth within the universe, the earth is the most important place for fulfilling the purpose of life, which is to get out of this material world and to go to the spiritual world. The earth is karma bhumi, what actions that are performed in the human form in this life will affect one's whole future. One life, one human life, can be the precursor of millions of lives in other forms, in other planets. So the human The earth is especially important, and the earth is especially important because from earth it is very easy, or it is most favorable to cultivate spiritual practices. Whereas in the heavenly planets, because there is a sense of happiness, so people who feel too happy, they don't want to take up spiritual life. They're enamored by material enjoyment. And those who are suffering too much, they also, their consciousness is too much overcome by suffering to even begin to think about spiritual life. So in either case, the consciousness is so much distracted, either by not exactly happiness, but, well, it's called sukha, but it means material pleasure. It's not exactly the same as happiness, but material pleasure and material distress. But on earth, there is neither great material happiness nor great material distress as there is in the hellish planets. And therefore, this atmosphere is suitable for spiritual inquiry. Atato brahma jignasa. One should, upon attaining the human form of life, inquire into the nature of spiritual reality. And the Supreme Lord himself, Vishnu, mostly comes to this world, to earth. Of all the planets, he also appears in other planets. Just like Vamana Dev appeared in the heavenly planets, and Nrsimha Dev appeared in the heavenly planets. But even when he appears in the heavenly planets, the places of his appearance, they're also reflected in this world, just like we have the place of Vamana's appearance is also in Bharat, in Bhrigu Kach, on the bank of the Narmada. The place or Nrsimha Leela is reflected in Ahobilam. So this earth planet is most important, especially the primary forms of the Lord, Krishna and Rama, remembrance of whose pastimes have been for centuries the backbone or the prime focus of Vaishnav culture within India. They appeared within Bharat, which is a name for India or a name for the whole planet, and performed their pastimes on this planet, because people or the jivas who are in their sojourn within this material world, within all the 8,400,000 species of life, the human form on this earth planet is most suitable for God realization. Therefore, Vishnu comes here. The great holy rivers, so many saintly people, they appear on this earth planet. So the earth is very special among all the planets in the universe, and therefore the Supreme Lord, he has a special affection for the earth. Bhu Shakti is also the form of Lakshmi, who is an intimate consort of the Supreme Lord. And thus, we see that he is intimately connected. Vishnu is intimately connected with Bhu, the earth. He is the father of the earth, inasmuch as everything comes from him, including the earth comes from him. He is the husband of the earth, especially in Varaha Avatar. He impregnated the earth, who thereafter gave birth to Narak, one Asura, actually. And he is also the father of the earth. Or the father of Rishay. He's also the son of the earth. So he also took birth on this earth. He also appeared on this earth. So he has multiple relationships with this earth. So the earth is also sacred and should not be mistreated, as she is very dear to Krishna. Name 73, this is one of the best names, best known names of Krishna, and very dear names. The name Madhava. And the first meaning of this is given as Ma meaning Lakshmi, and Dhava meaning husband. So, Madhava is a synonym of Sripati, the husband of Lakshmi. So this closely parallels Bhugarbha, that he is the lord of Bhu, one of his Shaktis, and Lakshmi is his first Shakti. Madhava, this the husband of Lakshmi. So that husband-wife relationship, that is eternal. Husband and wife in this world, their relationship is meant to be permanent and steady, and they live in each other. But that is a reflection of the original husband and wife, who are Narayana and Lakshmi. So they are eternally and intimately and inseparably related, and Parashara Bhatta, the commentator of the what we call the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, because their Sampradaya comes through Sri, through Lakshmi. He gives an extensive commentary here, explaining the glories of Sri, of Lakshmi. So they're very much focused on that. And just as we in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, in the higher levels, we emphasize the qualities of Radha even more than those of Krishna. So in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, they emphasize the qualities of Lakshmi even more than of Narayana. And that they state that Narayana gets his quality. He has his qualities because of Lakshmi, Sri. Sri is also a name for Vishnu and a name for Lakshmi. So Sri means all that is auspicious, all that is good, all that is beautiful. So Narayana, all his qualities come from his association with Lakshmi. Nevertheless, we in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, we worship Radha Madhava. So what is the meaning of this? He's already the husband of Lakshmi. And Radha is Lakshmi, Adi Lakshmi, Sarva Lakshmi, the original form of Lakshmi. And all the Lakshmis are all of the qualities. They all come from Radha. Or they're a reflection of those of Radha. So that Radha is with Madhava. This understanding is that even though Narayana is the husband of Lakshmi, still his original form, Krishna, there is more pleasure, more intimacy with Radha. Even though Lakshmi, she wanted to join Krishna in his pastimes, but she was unable to do so. So Radha, her position is even more exalted than that of Lakshmi. This name Madhava is, this appears three times in Vishnu Sahasranama. So, another meaning of the name Madhava is one who is attained through Madhu Vidya. So this Madhu Vidya, this is described in Mahabharata. That Madhu Vidya means a combination of three processes: Mon, observance of silence; Dhyana, meditation; and Yoga, which is a combination of, or an eightfold process. So, he is the aim and object of those who perform Madhu Vidya. Or, another understanding of that is, he is himself endowed with Madhu Vidya. He is silent, meditative, and yoga. He is linked with everything. So that is one of the names of Vishnu in Vishnu Sahasranama, Yoga. So I won't get into detail in that now. Now another meaning, another prime meaning of the name Madhava is that he is a descendant of Madhu. He is known as Madhupati. So even though he is the source of everyone, the source of everything, still he takes birth in the family, the dynasty of Madhu, also known as Yadava. Madhu came after Yadu. So it's a sub-dynasty of the Yadu dynasty. So Krishna, he glorifies this dynasty by being born in that. Otherwise, there have been so many dynasties in the history of the world. And even though during their time, they may be well-known and glorious, just like how many of you, there have been in the history of China, there have been so many lineages of kings. Can anyone tell me any of them? Ming dynasty. Okay, who was the most prominent emperors in that? Don't know. Well, at some time, the emperor must there must have been fabulously wealthy, powerful, Aishvaryasya not Samagrasya, but he must have, as the king, he would have Aishvarya, Virya, Yasha, usually Shriya also, maybe or maybe not Jnana, probably not Vairagya. But he had certain qualities that made him a very great person, and now just completely forgotten. So, similarly, the great kings of this earth, they may have been very, so many have been powerful and then forgotten. But Madhu is still remembered because Krishna appeared in his dynasty and glorified his dynasty. So that's another meaning of the word Madhava. Then Madhava, Ma meaning not, negative, and Dhava. So it doesn't mean that he's not the Lord. It means that for him there is no Lord. That's the meaning of being the Lord of everyone means, another way of saying that is that no one dominates him. No one is above him. Many people, especially in the modern Western world, they want to this idea of being free, and no one can tell me what to do. So such people usually end up in prison, where they're controlled. The punishment of being in prison is that one's freedom is restricted. So if you think I can just do whatever I like, however I like, I can drive at 100 miles an hour, drunk. Such people usually end up in prison. So this whole material world is a prison where we like to think we are free, but actually we're controlled to a very large degree. Apart from the laws of the state, the laws of nature force us to enter one body after another after another. But Krishna is not like that. Krishna is not under the laws, or he's not under any laws. He appears in this world, and thus foolish people think that he is the son of Vasudeva and Devaki in the same manner that you and I are born of our parents as a biological combination. Well, actually, it's more than biological, but how does that happen? Karmana daiva netrena jantur deho papatteye. According to our previous actions, and under the guidance, under the supervision of the Supreme Lord and his representatives, the demigods, the living beings get various bodies one after another. But Krishna is not like that. Sambhavami Atma Mayaya. He appears by his own desire or out of mercy. By his own mercy, he appears in this world. Just as to benefit others, not that he's forced to appear. So Krishna is one for whom he is the Lord of everyone, but there is no, he is not the Lord of anyone. So that's one perspective. That is the ontological perspective that Hare Krishna. Krishna, there is no Lord. There is no one above him. But another perspective is that he, even though no one is above him, no one can control him, there is no power above him, because all powers are his powers. Parasya shakti vividhaiva shruyate swabhaviki jnana balakriyacha. All powers that are in the world, they're all Krishna's powers. They all work according to his desire. But still, he is Madhava, and he chooses to not be the Lord. He chooses to be subordinate to his great devotees, and to act as if he is not the Supreme Lord. So he is one without a Lord, without a master, without anyone who can control him, but he chooses to accept a situation in which he becomes controlled. So we see that baby Krishna, he is the gopis of the age of Mother Yashoda. They're clapping their hands and singing, and Krishna is dancing as if he's just some ordinary child. He's dancing to the song of the elderly gopis. Krishna showed that no one can control him, but that he submits to the love of his devotees, famously in Damodar Leela, where Mother Yashoda, bringing all the ropes in the house, and in a cowherder's house, they'll have many ropes because they have to tie up many cows. But she could not tie up Krishna. But Krishna submitted to the love of Mother Yashoda. So in this way, Krishna is Madhava. Another meaning, this is taken from Harivamsa. He is the Lord of all knowledge. So Krishna is the Lord of everything, but certain aspects of his overlordship are emphasized in different justice. So we say Madhupati, the Lord of the Madhus. Or yeah, Prajapati, he is the Lord of all living beings. So here Madhava can also be understood to mean he is the Lord of all knowledge. For those who are very proud of being learned, they should know that whatever knowledge we have, even if one is very knowledgeable, still, whatever knowledge we have is very, very little. We can only know very, very little. We may be expert in some subject, but still there's always more to know. But for Krishna, he doesn't have to study to become learned. He knows everything. He's fully aware of everything. In all subjects, he's fully aware of all the different complexities. So, those who wish to acquire knowledge for the service, for serving Krishna, that's also one aspect of serving Krishna. If one can become knowledgeable for appreciating the qualities of the Lord and explaining them to devotees, and by scriptural knowledge, defeating the wrong ideas of those who present knowledge in such a manner that defies the supremacy of Bhagavan Vishnu. So, someone who wants to become knowledgeable for the sake of serving the Lord, they especially worship Hayagriva Avatar, who spoke the Vedas when they were lost. So in this way, Krishna is known as Madhava. Another meaning is the silent observer, which comes also within that Madhu Vidya. So Hare Krishna. There's some meanings. We're trying to or considering the different names of Vishnu so that we can have a broader and deeper insights into who is this Krishna who has asked us to surrender to him fully without reservation. Why should we do that? What will be the benefit of doing so? So when we're fully convinced that Krishna is in all respects superior to me, and he is in all respects Sharanyam. He is worthy of taking shelter. He is the one who we should take shelter of. Our full benefit will be in doing so. Then we shall be more inclined to make that step to fully surrender to him. So any questions about this? Yeah. Let me see here. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Yeah, mother. Didn't I say that? I didn't say that. I didn't say that. Well, Mata. So Ma can be short for Mata, yeah. I didn't say that, yeah. Yeah, Ma here means Lakshmi, and Lakshmi is mother, yeah. So from our perspective, she's mother, although it might seem a little strange if you say the husband of the mother. It's like your own mother has another husband, or you married your own mother. But that's also, yeah, Ma means, Srila Prabhupada also gave that explanation. So yeah, Ma means Lakshmi, the mother of, she's the mother of all of us. Yeah, then?
We talk about Radha and Lakshmi. What position does Rukmani and Satyabhama have?
They're all expansions. Rukmani, Satyabhama, they're all expansions of Radha. Just as Narayana is an expansion of Krishna. So, and Krishna, there's one Krishna, but he manifests different pastimes and different moods in various places. In Vrindavan, Mathura and Dwarka are very similar. So, Rukmini, Satyabhama, they're all expanded, all female shaktis, all shaktis. Shakti means female, they're all expansions of Radha. So Rukmini is also. Means they have qualities of Radha, but not in the full extent. And the mood is somewhat different also of Rukmini as compared to Radha. Yes, please. You'd ask a question? No, yourself.
Why do we need so many expansions?
Why do we need? Why does Krishna need so many? He doesn't need, but he likes. He doesn't have Krishna. Why does Krishna have so many expansions? He doesn't need them. He doesn't need anything. He's Atma Rama. He's fully satisfied in himself. But he likes. He acts for his own pleasure. So he likes to enjoy in multifarious ways. So it's not our prerogative to question that. Hey, what are you doing? He's the supreme. He does what he likes for his own pleasure. Our benefit is in appreciating that and cooperating with that. But it's all for his own pleasure, and he derives pleasure from giving pleasure to others. That is the exchange of love. So we needn't think that Krishna should be like some rishi or yogi. Why doesn't he just live in under a tree like Lord Shiva? Why doesn't he just live in a cottage? Well, he does that also as Nara Narayana. He also shows the ideal of renunciation and tapasya. So he does that. He does so many things in so many forms, and it's all for his pleasure, and his pleasure is that in giving pleasure to his devotees. So his many, 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 many devotees. Why did you come here? You could have stayed at home and chanted Hare Krishna. But we derive pleasure in associating with others, sharing with others. That's true in the material sphere also. And in the spiritual sphere. So Krishna is the supreme person. He likes other persons. He's a very friendly person. He's a very loving person. So he maintains relationships with many unlimited number of living beings. There's no need. If you think that our need is simply to exist, then what is our need? Some food. But even Krishna doesn't need food. then you become impersonal. Then there's no need for Krishna to do anything. Actually, there's no need for him to do anything. There's no need for him to say anything. There's no need for him to exist practically. Then you come to impersonal understanding. Krishna, he does everything for lila, for the pleasure of his own pastimes. And for that, there are many, many devotees, all with different aptitudes, attitudes, relationships with Krishna. All give pleasure to Krishna in different ways. Everyone is different. In pure existence, everyone differently gives pleasure to Krishna in somewhat different ways. Yes, so anything else?
Well, you mentioned that the lila avatar of Nrsimha Dev happened on another planet, not on
Yeah. What was the planet? Well, Hiranyakashipu was presiding over he'd taken over the planet of Indra. He'd taken over Indra's throne. So Nrsimhadev went there. That pastime is also reflected here in Ahobilam, which is South India. Ah, yes. We worship Radha, Krishna, Sita, Ram, Lakshmi, Narayan. So husband and wife, how should they live? The husband should be a representative of Narayan and the wife of Lakshmi. Not that they should imitate Lakshmi and Narayana, but the wife is also called Griha Lakshmi. And the wife is enjoined to see her husband as Narayana, Pati Devata. So like that, that's the ideal. Ah, yes.
The names of Krishna is meant to be the most powerful, but what about names of, say, Madhava, Damodara?
The names of Krishna are the most powerful. What about names like Damodara, Madhava? They're also names of Krishna. The principal name of all the names is Krishna. There are also, some names are called primary names, like those you said, Madhava, Damodara, Govinda, Gopinath, Hari, and there are many other names. And practically any quality can be taken as a name of Krishna. So just like here in Vishnu Sahasranam, the name is there, Pavitram, Mangalam, Mangalam Param. So these are all qualities of Krishna which are inseparable from his personality. And they're also names of Krishna. But primary names are those that are associated particularly with his Vrindavan pastimes. Yeah, and then? Anything else?
You were mentioning that Lord Vishnu appeared on the Amitamis, but the reflection was on Ahobilam. And so is it like the heavenly plants also exist on this earth?
The heavenly plants also exist in this earth. Hare Krishna. How exactly it works, I don't know. That's Krishna's spiritual potency. I don't know if we can explain it according to mundane cosmology or physics, because it's not mundane. But Krishna just as he manifests himself on this earth, so he manifests replicas, or his spiritual energy, his Leela Shakti manifests replicas of his various leelas He manifests replicas of those places on this earth for the benefit of devotees on this earth who can thus visit those places, worship in those places, and be benefited in those places. Just like an acharya may establish a temple, that becomes a replica of Vrindavan. It's just on this earth, but it becomes a sacred place. So any place where Vishnu is worshipped becomes non-different from the spiritual world because of the activity of worship. And if some special place may reflect those pastimes in the spiritual world. Of course, Nrsimhadev does also come. During his pastime, he came at least to Nrsimhapalli in the Navadvip area. So he personally comes on this planet also. You made some article about Nrsimhadev, some different pastimes from different Puranas. Actually, there's huge amount of, if we get into that, there's huge amount of research and writing could be done. Because there are many pastime places of the Lord which they may not be in any extent Puranas or just in the local Stala Purana. If you go over India, you'll find so many places people say, well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here, and you won't find any record in the extant biographies. Or Rama came here. There's so many places like that. Yeah. Rama came here. He did this. He did that. We have Rajapur in Navadvip Mandal where Jagannath appeared. So there are some pastimes told there, which we don't find. And there's all over India, there's so many places like that. So it's the lesser known pastimes of the Lord. It could be a big job, and a lifetime, or maybe the lifetime of several people to collect all this, all these things. Yeah, anything else? Replica, maybe, what's the term that, I use the term. Reflection is used, isn't it? Like a reflection. That verse is there, similarly in Brahma Sanghita, the Pratipalam. What is that? Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. No, it's the other one. Mataya Manasu, Yat Praninang Pratipalam Smaratam Upetya. Lilayatena Bhuvanani Jayatya Jastram Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamahamaja. Well, that's a little different. That says that the pastimes, the blissful spiritual pastimes of the Lord are reflected in the minds of the devotees. Those pastimes by which he conquers the world. So they may be reflected in the minds of Jaya. They may be like a reflection in the world. Yeah.
Actually, my question is very particular. I know in Mayapur, when we go to Parikram, is one very small lake.
Right. I just mentioned that Nrsimhapalli.
Yes.
Yeah.
What I understand, fighting was only the local. How is it possible?
Well, that's why he came here. How is it possible? What's impossible for him? He likes to come to Mayapur. Likes to come to Navadvip.
Yes.
So he comes.
He comes to Moshkizu.
Yeah. So if he likes, it's just a little hop, skip, and jump for him.
Yes.
To come down from Swarga to here.
Yeah, actually, spirit doesn't exist for him.
Right, that's also there, yeah.
Yeah.
The Trividha Sima, the limits of time, space, and thought, the constraints of those do not, they don't exist for him.
Yes.
Ulanghita Trividha Sima. He's beyond the constraints of time, space, and what what we think should be possible and impossible. That doesn't exist for him. We can understand to some extent. Even if we had the intelligence of Lord Brahma, we could not understand. What to speak of our messed up Kali Yuga brains with. There's neither the intellectual capacity formally, and apart from that, our consciousness is also distorted by gross desires, gross bad influences. But even if we had the intelligence of Lord Brahma, Lord Brahma, he also admitted, I can't understand Krishna. So we're simply doing so to, we discuss the qualities of Krishna, to try to purify ourselves and to understand to whatever capacity we, of course that's also a gift from him, that he bestows upon us the ability to understand him as much as we can. We can't even begin to fully understand even one of his unlimited qualities, but nevertheless, we discuss, and that is an impetus to bhakti. And that in itself is bhakti, to discuss about Krishna. So, even though, if we think about this in a mundane way, it's something like running after something that we can never catch. They may say, well, what's the point? Because it's a different outlook. The materialistic people, they try to amass knowledge so that they can become the master of a subject. And then you become MSc, MBA, or whatever. But our attempt is to become the servant of the subject. The subject here meaning Krishna. He is the subject, we are the object, in that sense. So, we discuss matyata madgata prana bodhyanta parasparam katyantas chamang nityam tushanti charamanti cha. We discuss in a manner that, not that we want to think that now I've understood everything about Krishna, but simply because Shrinu sukadam shubhadam bhavasaram. To discuss and hear about Krishna is pleasing and purifying for this whole material world. Anything else? Yeah, there could be so many discussions. Yeah. Yeah.
And so, the Mayavadi say Krishna is the last trap.
Krishna what, sorry?
Krishna is the last trap of Maya.
Oh, I don't even want to discuss that. That kind of thing, you just kick them in the face with boot. There's no discussion at that point. Yeah, it's so offensive. You ever heard anyone say that?
No.
No, yeah. Well, if you do, that was Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes he just said, kick them in the face with. When people brought up things which were just too offensive and too absurd, then Srila Prabhupada wouldn't even discuss it. He'd just say, kick them in the face with a boot. That's all. I mean, there's a point where you can discuss, and there are some things where there's no discussion. When it gets too absurd, then like that. I sometimes give this example. This happened to me in Soho Street some years ago. That I was trying to explain to one visitor how the soul is different from the body, giving the example of the car and the driver. And he interjected and said that, well, you're supposed to be spiritual people, why are you using cars? But actually such a person, you shouldn't kick him in the face with a boot. Just give him, no use to discuss, just give him some prasadam. I mean, the poor person is, you know, he's cognitive faculties or his ability to understand even a simple example is just so much lacking that You know, just give him some prasadam. What else can you do for him? But people who make grossly offensive statements, then kick them in the face with a boot, which Srila Prabhupada never actually physically did, but it's a metaphorical statement. It's not that we have to go to the shoe shop and pick out the biggest boots and, but such persons, who make such statements, they should not be entertained at all. We don't discuss. And actually, even the traditional Mayavadis, they would not say, I mean, they also recite Vishnu Sahasranama, so they show at least superficial respect for Vishnu. They also, just like, they'll also complain if the, if Rama is insulted, although in a subtle way they also do themselves, but they also don't like when people make gross offenses against Rama or Jagannath or like that. We find that they also protest about that. Anything else? So, Hare Krishna. One of the sayings of Queen Kunti. Twaime nanya vishaya matir madhupate. We just said that name. Madhupate sakrit. Ratim udvahadad adha gange vogham udanvati. That means she is praying to Krishna that may my attraction to you, may that flow toward you. Just like the Ganga forever flows towards the sea, the Ganges forever flows toward the sea. So Ganges flows in fast flow all the way to the sea. Very powerful flow. So she wants her flow of attraction to be toward Krishna, just like the Ganga flows toward the sea. So there you are. Hare Krishna.